Hello, and welcome to Third Sector Show on In Radio. I'm Dom Chambers, and this is our first outing in the new year. And I have to say, I'm vitalised, re-energised and rearing to go with my Third Sector microphone taking me on my peregrinations, there's a big word, right round the country, exploring all facets of community media here in the UK.
Online 24/7, this is the radio industry's very own radio station. In Radio.
Excited by the new year, and excited also that our first port of call is going to be the UNESCO designated World Radio Day on Tuesday, the 13th of February. Now, this year, there's a special theme of broadcasting and sports. And awareness of this theme and that important relationship first came to my attention when I read an article by Ian Knockolds, which really drills down into the relationship between broadcasters at a local level with their local sports clubs. And I wanted to find out more. And since I run Summer Valley FM in northeast Somerset, and Ian has been a very long-standing volunteer for that radio station, and although he's more or less retired from Summer Valley FM now, he is but a stone's throw away, and it didn't take much for me to convince him to come into one of our studios, where we held a really interesting conversation, which follows shortly. Fate has also thrown me in the pathway of Danny Lawrence, he of the Community Media Association, and the driver behind the Radio Hub, which is a networking forum for community radio in the UK, and he also runs Gateway up in Basildon in Essex. And that's a radio station that has always considered it important to mark World Radio Day, and I'll be finding out what their plans are for this year. Now, in my last Third Sector show, I committed to each edition of the programme having at least one impact story. And I've been collecting these stories as I drive round the UK, visiting community radio stations and other community media organisations, and talking to volunteers and station managers about how involvement and inclusion in community radio and its training can change lives. And last summer, it was my absolute pleasure to go to East Coast Radio, just southeast of Edinburgh in Scotland. And I had such an interesting afternoon there, mainly talking with their manager, Ian Robertson, and I'll be bringing that full interview to a future edition of the programme. But there, I also met Gillian, and she shared her story with me. Plenty to be thinking about then. Here's what's coming up in the programme.
We are In Radio.
With this theme about being sport and women in sport, we have in the past been involved with CK Ladies football team as well, which is based in Basildon. So we've got a lot of roots in sport in Basildon, in the area, that we could draw from. And of course, we've got the Sporting Village, which was used during the Olympics by the Japanese swim team.
Commercial broadcasters need no help. They need no publicity when it comes to sports broadcasting. Talk Sport, Sky, the BBC do a fantastic job. But at the grassroots, where communities are a little bit more disconnected, the community broadcaster can champion a Western League side in a way that could, even if it adds another four or five people to the gate, that can make a huge financial difference to the club and make the supporters walk a little bit taller. And you can't put a price on that.
I've met a lot of people who have said, oh, you do radio, I couldn't do that. And it seems to them, well, actually, you could. You know, you can come to East Coast FM. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You can come here. And if you want to be on the radio, you volunteer and you can.
This is In Radio.
And Gillian's can-do attitude there, setting us up nicely for the spirit of the Third Sector show and this particular outing of the programme. And we can look forward to meeting her, and indeed her guide dog Flora, later in the programme. To get us underway, though, it is that stimulating theme that links sports, broadcasting, and particularly how the relationship exists at a local level.
I'm Ian Knockolds, and I am the presenter of the Toolstation Western League podcast.
Well, Ian, welcome to our studios here, and always good to see you. I was flicking through various social media platforms, probably LinkedIn, undoubtedly Twitter, and I came across an article you'd written. And the article was really about the relationship between grassroots sports and grassroots media. With thoughts of how UNESCO are marking World Radio Day coming up in February, you've kind of linked all these things together, haven't you, in your article?
Yeah, I have, yeah. World Radio Day this year, it's the seventh year that UNESCO have championed World Radio Day on February the 13th. The theme is sport, broadcasting in sport. And radio, as you know, of course, has many benefits, particularly to reach communities, to inform and to provide opportunities for people regardless of gender, age, those types of things. This year, it's very much about how sports broadcasting helps to improve gender equality, diversity and peace and development, which, of course, are the aims of UNESCO. And it's very exciting to be using my background in sports broadcasting at community radio station and my current role with the Toolstation Western League to champion what clubs, what local football clubs are doing in their community and how we can use radio to spread that word.
We'll come back to the UNESCO Day in a few moments, but let's just have a quick look then into your background behind this. And you've had a long relationship with Summer Valley FM, and there you brokered some great relationships between the community broadcaster and local sports clubs. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I spent 8 years broadcasting on Summer Valley FM, and in that time I fell in love with two of the local, well, three football teams that we covered on the station, but there were two teams in the Western League, Radstock Town and Welton Rovers, two neighbouring communities, two very different communities in many respects, two communities that have got a very interesting history. And sport was a great way of sort of exemplifying that, and the rivalry that existed in the derby match between Radstock and Welton, which we christened the Coalfield Classico, is a great way of sort of showing just how community radio can really liven up.
I'm just going to put my history head into this conversation for a second, because if you're not familiar with this area, then we need to explain what the historic background to this rivalry, which spills over into sports. And it's really down to the fact that the major economy around here was coal mining, and there was huge rivalry pre-nationalisation of the coal industry. There was massive rivalry between the pits, wasn't there?
Absolutely.
To the point that if you didn't get more coal out of your pit than that, you might not get paid. Now, that spilled over into the football terraces of a Saturday afternoon.
It certainly did, because the teams from Radstock and Welton and from Poulton, which is just up on the hill as well, they were colliery teams. They were rival. The players would run from work to play a football match on a Saturday afternoon. And they weren't just playing against the local town, they were playing against the local pit. The rivalry was, you know, the socio-economic history of the area and its footballing history were inextricably linked. It's fascinating. That's a fascinating story to tell.
Absolutely. So then 50 years after the coal mines had closed, there was nonetheless this residual sense of rivalry and perhaps a spirit of non-collaboration that's pervaded our area. And then along comes Summer Valley FM and the sports programme. So take up the story from there.
Well, yeah, I mean, originally I'm from Portsmouth. And so we have a very famous rivalry with Southampton. And I'm an avid football fan. And so, you know, you wouldn't get me going anywhere near Southampton unless my life depended on it. But I came to this area and looked at Radstock and Welton and Poulton with a different view, because I wanted all of them to be involved with Summer Valley. So actually, impartial coverage. So no favour given. And the whole ethos of the show was to promote the clubs, to promote what they were doing on the pitch, but also to promote what they were doing off the pitch, because these teams rely on the social events that go on in the clubs. And actually, although that there are existing rivalries, there were opportunities for each of those teams to recognise that they were part of a footballing family. And there was an opportunity to share some of the relative successes that those sides enjoyed, certainly in the time that I was covering them. But the commentaries that we piloted on Summer Valley FM, covering those sides, whether they were playing each other or whether they were playing teams for another area, gave us another dimension to what we were trying to do. Basically, our ethos was to take what is an amateur team and to give it the same sort of airtime, the same coverage, talk about the players, the managers, the supporters in the same way that you would hear on a commercial broadcaster. And that really neatly brings us back to World Radio Day, because, of course, commercial broadcasters need no help. They need no publicity when it comes to sports broadcasting. Talk Sport, Sky, the BBC do a fantastic job. But at the grassroots, where communities are a little bit more disconnected, the community broadcaster can champion Western League side in a way that could, even if it adds another four or five people to the gate, that can make a huge financial difference to the club and make the supporters walk a little bit taller. And you can't put a price on that.
I'm going to come back to in a moment the relationship between community broadcasting and the professional networks of the BBC and the commercial networks as well. One of the areas that you've identified as the validity of the community radio approach to sports is that it can focus on an area, a smaller patch, than the more regional radio networks. So, for instance, in the Midsummer Norton, Radstock, Poulton area, you've only got one broadcaster who can focus on that area, and that's Summer Valley FM, because it's, you know, the BBC Somerset, BBC Bristol, etc., have a much, much wider area. So there's one area of really important validity in the relationship between grassroots sports and grassroots media. But I have a feeling, watching you develop the sports programme on Summer Valley FM, there's a tiny bit more to it as well. The fact that you'd created a hub of connection across the community, right here in a Summer Valley FM studio, also had some wider benefits.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't just cover football. I mean, I love football, but we cover rugby. We did rugby commentaries, and also we covered cricket in the summer, of course, cricket and tennis. I mean, we've covered cycling as well, and hockey, boxing even. We've done, you know, plenty of sports. But some of the connections that we made, you know, even in this very studio, we were bringing in people for a live programme from different clubs. And often that was a networking activity in of itself. And I think one of the most, you know, my proudest, one of my most proud achievements really was the fact that one of the football teams that we covered, not the Western League sides that I've mentioned, but one at a much lower level in the county football, they were looking for a clubhouse. They were looking for a place to go after their games where they could have a pint and a laugh and socialise. And at the same time, the cricket club were looking for something for their facilities to do in the winter when they weren't being used for cricket. And of course, you've got the marriage that was made in heaven. And we were the matchmaker there. You know, that's a really good thing.
And also, these clubs are businesses. There isn't the attention or the dedicated support that you get in attendance that you would have got sort of 50, 100 years ago. So helping them publicise their social events and things that are bringing in important revenue and important parts of the socialising of those communities is also a really vital factor here. Now, we are essentially, community media, grassroots media, is essentially a volunteer orientated sector. Summer Valley FM benefited hugely from you and your vision as a volunteer, and you drew other people into that as well. And I think that's how we developed such a strong sports offer, which has outlived your time here as you've moved on to other things, which of course we still benefit from as well. But the point I'm making here is that we were lucky because we had a volunteer with your energies and your capacity. And I've always said that community radio is really the sum total of what a community is prepared to put into having a voice for itself. We work well with some of the professional media sectors. In the BBC, for instance, it's a contracted situation where people are paid for what they're doing as opposed to volunteering for it. And they are required to have a great deal of qualifications before doing that. How do you see the relationship between volunteer-orientated grassroots media and professional paid-for sports reporting media?
I think my attitude has changed since I started broadcasting, because I think anybody who's a volunteer or an amateur at anything, be it broadcasting or be it playing football or managing a team of rugby players, whatever it is the most natural emotion in the world is to say, actually, of the professional, I could do that job. I could do that job just as good as them, if not better. And to a certain extent, you know, I was able to get on my moral high horse that the BBC didn't feel as passionately about the success of Poulton Rovers as I did. You know, I didn't understand why people didn't want to broadcast the Somerset County Cup final when Welton Rovers played Bridgewater at Yeovil. You know, this is a big deal for this town. It's a great honour. You know, we're up for the cup. Why wouldn't that be a massive media occasion? And of course, you know, commercial broadcast is all about the numbers. It's all about the listeners. And that drove me, because actually I thought to myself, all right, there might only be 100 people watching Welton Rovers, or there might only be 60 going up to watch Radstock Town. But if we could make that bigger, if we could drive the attendance at those clubs, because actually people in the community were talking about those matches, then we would be doing a service. And then it became a challenge, because of course I want our listener figures to go up. I want people to listen to me because they enjoy my broadcasting, but also I want them to hear about these wonderful teams that we were covering and listen to the station, and there'd be a mutual benefit. Now, I was lucky enough, thanks to the relationship between Summer Valley and BBC Bristol, to get the opportunity to go and watch a BBC commentary at Ashton Gate, the home of Bristol City, with a BBC commentator. As you say, a professional, somebody who is paid. It is their living. It is their profession. It is what they do all the time. And I was completely impressed, mesmerised by the sheer amount that was going on that they had to keep up with. Links to studio, notes to make about the team, the formations, the recent form, making a match report and then leading a press conference immediately after the game. Now, many people listening to this will probably have seen football managers are a bit spiky on the television and giving the interviewer a hard time. Well, if you think that happens a lot in the Premier League, you want to see what happens in the lower leagues, because these guys are not on the big bucks. They've not got the national coverage that some of our most famous broadcasters have. It's their living, it's their day job, and they are getting it right in the neck, not because they're a bad broadcaster, but because the manager's team's just got gubbed 5-0. So I watched this. I watched the professionalism. I watched the consistency. And that's the real key. You know, I had good days as a broadcaster. I had good days as a commentator. But these guys do it week in, week out, come rain or shine. And I think that's the major difference. And it opened my eyes. And I thought to myself, if I could do a fraction of what this individual is doing, then it will improve my broadcasting. But it gave me a newfound respect for what they do every single day of the week.
So there's an example of best practice between the BBC local radio and a community radio station, which was facilitated through the Memorandum of Understanding between the Community Media Association, the national representative body, and BBC English Regions. And that's great to see. Now, you're aware, and your article alludes to this, that there are what we might call misunderstandings between our sectors. There will be people in the BBC who don't understand the validity in the broadcasting landscape of community radio. And there's people in the community radio sector who think, well, hang on, all the public funding's going to this lot and we should be having it for ourselves. And so there's a kind of axe to grind. But I think what you've articulated is an example, well, as I say, an example of best practice. And I'm not saying this doesn't happen in other parts of the country, because I'm aware that it is. But how do you think that relationship that you've had personal experience of between the professional and the volunteer or the amateur, all words used with great respect, by the way, can develop here on in?
Well, we live in a world where the media environment, broadcast media, written media, social media is becoming saturated. We also live in a time when the training that's offered, the people who are the outstanding broadcasters of our generation have come through a pathway often through public service broadcasting in the BBC. I think those days are probably over. And where are the broadcasters of tomorrow going to come from? Now, student radio is a fantastic breeding ground at universities for quality broadcasters of tomorrow who often go off and find a job professionally. But actually, what about community radio? What role is there for community radio? And this is why I think that commercial and public sector broadcasters should take the community sector very seriously. Not just because actually you could find a gem. You could find, you know, to use a footballing analogy, you could find that proverbial player from the non-league who goes on to score for England, like a Jamie Vardy. You could find that there. But actually, we live in a very different world. And I think that this, again, draws on the themes that UNESCO are talking about with World Radio Day: diversity and equality. And you've got an opportunity to reach some outstanding individuals who may not have academic qualifications. They may come from communities or groups that are underrepresented in our society. They may have disabilities. But the medium of radio is a wonderful opportunity to give those people a great platform on which they can make a contribution, not just to their community, but to our society. Community radio plays such an important part in that. And I think that that would be great if the BBC and professional broadcasters could see that potential and do something to tap into it. Because I think in communities like this here in the Somer Valley, we're providing, or Somer Valley's providing, a really important service to engage directly with the people who live here, with the events that are going on every day, week in, week out, 365 days a year, in a way that the BBC in Bristol can't, or the BBC in Somerset can't. They touch upon it occasionally. But there is this huge reservoir of talent and experience and knowledge and ability that it would be great to draw upon. And I think that makes for a very positive rather than a challenging future for the broadcast sector.
I mentioned before, there is this memorandum of understanding between BBC English Regions, I should say, and the Community Media Association. That's a good starting point. And I think if anyone's listening to this and they want to connect from the community sector to their BBC local radio, that's a good starting point to get the conversation going. But your story is the excellent second stage of that conversation. So to some extent, then, we have a great call to action. I say to some extent because I feel there should be a second call to action for the UNESCO World Radio Day as well.
Yeah, you know, it's an opportunity for both professional and community broadcasters to come together. There's a fantastic website, which is worldradio.org, that people can go and visit. They can download resources. They can get some ideas for things that they can do, be it whether they're professional broadcasters or operating in a community or a hospital or a student radio station. And there's also a calendar on there that you can log your event. So that would give you publicity across the world, across the UNESCO family world. And that's a great way to see both community stations like Somer Valley, my podcast, the Western League podcast, and also professional commercial broadcasters like the BBC or perhaps even TalkSport, sharing their programmes to celebrate the power that sports radio can bring to the world.
What will you be doing on World Radio Day?
Well, hopefully two things. One of them will be a breakfast programme on this very radio station with my old sparring partner, Luke Barnes, where we'll be looking at grassroots sporting activity in the Soma Valley, and understanding what goes on, and understanding, more importantly, how local people can get involved in that, and with a view to living a healthier, happier life. The other activity I'll be doing is with the Toolstation Western League. We are offering one of the 42 member clubs in the Western League the opportunity for me to do an audio commentary. And I say audio commentary, not a radio commentary, very deliberately, because radio is a wonderful way of allowing both fully sighted and visually impaired people to enjoy exactly the same football match. And I think that the best thing that can possibly happen for a football fan is the opportunity to enjoy a live game at the ground. Now, normally, if you're visually impaired, you might rely on a friend or a relative to try and keep up with the action. Now, they probably do a better job than me, but I've got a lot of experience of commentating on Western League football, and I would like to offer a visually impaired fan the opportunity to enjoy a game live with all the sounds and all the smells of a live football match, but with me keeping up with the action and giving them an idea of what's going on with the game. So that's the second thing that I'll be doing for World Radio Day.
Great. Sounds very exciting. And finally, if we want to read your article, which triggered this conversation, which I've enjoyed very much, where do we go?
Well, the best place to go at the moment is the Sports Journalists Association. Put that in Google, you will find they've very kindly promoted my article about World Radio Day and about my time with BBC and Bristol. I'm an associate member of the Sports Journalists Association, and that was an organisation I joined when I became part of the Soma Valley FM family. And because I wanted to, even though I was not being paid for my broadcasting, I aspired to try and improve myself and be a better broadcaster. So I'm very pleased that the Sports Journalists Association have continued to support that, as have Soma Valley.
It's so important that amateur grassroots media is supported by unions, representatives, bosses and everybody, because in an increasingly complex media landscape, everybody has a place. I think it is down to audiences, and there's validity in all. Ian, as I say, I've enjoyed our conversation very much, and good luck with your ongoing endeavours to bring the sporting and the broadcasting communities ever closer together for mutual benefit.
Thank you very much, Dom.
Most grateful to Ian Knockolds for his time there and that fascinating conversation. His insight, experience and point of view is always going to find a place here on Third Sector Show. I'm actually also grateful to Ian for flagging up World Radio Day to me. I was just so busy with everything else, it was about to slip me by, and it was that article he was talking about that brought it to my attention. And I think it's really important that we in the UK radio industry, and of course particularly the independent grassroots and community radio sector, support it, because we have so much in common with what UNESCO is achieving on a global level. Just over 2 years ago, they held a World Community Radio Conference in Paris, and it was my real pleasure as the chair of the Community Media Association, along with Steve Buckley from Sheffield Live, to represent the UK's community broadcasters at that conference. And thinking of the Community Media Association, we had a meeting in London recently, and it was there that I chanced upon Danny Lawrence from Gateway 97.8. And it really doesn't take much to encourage conversation between us. In radio. Coming up, Danny, is the UNESCO-designated World Radio Day. This year, on the 13th of February, it's got a special theme of sports broadcasting. And how's that going to fit in with your work up at Gateway?
We have lots of young people involved, and in our neck of the woods, it's half-term week. So a lot of young people are going to be involved in the programme. I've got a presenter called John Jenkins, who's one of our younger presenters, who's going to be hosting the programme, and we're going to be covering lots of sporting activities that go on in our borough. And of course, Basildon's well known for Max Whitlock, who is the gymnast who won 2 gold medals at the last Olympics, and I've interviewed him many times, and he lives locally. I'm not sure we'll be able to get him in the studio that day, but we're certainly going to be focusing on his career as a young person. So we're going to be focusing on that. We've got a special programme going out in the afternoon between 1 and 4, which will feature World Radio Day and sport, and then the rest of the programmes through the day will also be having interviews from the World Radio website. You know, some of the interviews with some of the people that have been taking part, and especially the women in sport interviews as well. So we normally do a whole day of programmes will cover the subject of World Radio Day, and then we focus on one particular programme to really hammer it home. So we're looking forward to World Radio Day. It's always a pleasure to do, and last year was a great success with what we did then, so we're looking to improve it this year.
Any community station is the sum total of what a community is prepared to put into its own kind of dedicated broadcaster. For you at Gateway, where are the links between local sports coverage and community media?
Okay, well, we've got our own football team. We sponsor a couple of teams. One of them is the Bowers United Football Club, who advertise on the station and also sponsor the Pat Sharp Saturday Night Show that we have. But also we have supported with this theme about being sport and women in sport. We have in the past been involved with CK Ladies Football Team as well, which is based in Basildon. So we've got a lot of roots in sport in Basildon, in the area, that we could draw from. And of course, we've got the Sporting Village, which was used during the Olympics by the Japanese swim team. So we've got a lot of in our area. And in Hadley, which is about 5-6 miles down the road, is where they use the cycling for the Olympics as well. So there's quite a lot in the area. So it's not going to be boring. It's going to be quite interesting. And what I've done this year is, rather than me headline it, we've actually put a young person to headline the whole project. So he will run with the project. He's arranging the interviews. He's signed up to the World Radio website, and he's making a whole big day of it. So lots of in routes, and I can't say what's going to be happening on the program because he likes to keep me out of the loop. So and it's really good because some of these young people have got such great ideas on what they. I just sort of make sure it happens, but I'm looking forward to the 13th of February.
Well, I was going to say, Danny, how does World Radio Day help you with your work at Gateway? But you've kind of explained that, because basically what you said is that a young person has been empowered to take a lead on the broadcasting for the day. And although that young person, I'm sure, would have eventually risen to that height, it's kind of World Radio Day that's brought that on.
Yeah, it is. And also, as well as being on the radio and organising the rest of the team to do stuff, he's also looking after all the blogs. So it's a project in itself. I've given him a little bit of budget so he can do a little bit with that, and he empowers him to take over the whole theme of the day, because you know, you're a manager of a radio station, I'm a manager of a radio station, and there's only so much that we can do, you know, and it is good that we can actually say, you know, this is your project, we'll oversee it as managers, but you've got to make sure it happens. And I think for young people, especially in media, it's a great way of them taking over responsibility of something.
Online 24/7 and worldwide in radio.
Danny Lawrence there with some of the activities that Gateway 97.8 will be doing in support of World Radio Day. And I suppose there's no better way of supporting the ethics behind World Radio Day than by sharing best practice. And that's exactly what the radio hub that Danny launched a couple of years ago is about. And I'll be bringing you news of up-and-coming radio hub events, and indeed all relevant events to our work in grassroots media. I think the Radio Hub is heading for Sittingbourne at the end of March. For now, though, it's off to Scotland, or at least that's where I was last August, and coming out of the capital city at the height of festival time, I ducked into Haddington, just off the A1 there, coming south of Edinburgh, and I called upon East Coast Radio, where, amidst an afternoon of really stimulating conversations, I had this happy chance encounter.
Hi, my name's Gillian, and this is my guide dog, Flora. I'm visually impaired, and I work at East Coast FM, East Lothian's local community radio station.
Tell me how you got involved.
Well, I was actually not doing too much. I do work as a translator, and I do that from home. But it was quite quiet at the time, and I really wanted something else to get me out of the house, really. And we have a friend, Catherine Reed, who comes to our church a lot, and she knew Ian. And so she talked to him and asked if I could come along here, and I came along and had a chat with him, and he put me on air almost straight away, which was a bit of a surprise, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I came back, unfortunately, poor Ian, and I haven't stopped since. I've been here about a year now.
And I can see why, because you do have a fantastic voice. If you're visually impaired, I'm imagining radio wasn't the most obvious thing for you to do. How did you overcome that?
Well, when I spoke to Ian, the really great thing about speaking to Ian was it wasn't an issue. Like, he knew obviously we would have to work around it, but it wasn't an issue. Sometimes when you talk to employers, they're horrified at the idea of having to change things around. But basically what happens is I have a producer with me, that's usually Frank, and they put all the songs from my playlist into the system, because there are four carts that the songs can be in. So they tell me which one it is, and I've learned where the buttons are. So when I want to play the songs, I can press the buttons 1, 2, 3, or 4, so I'm able to do that. And I've also learned where the microphone faders are, so I can put the microphones up to talk or put them down when the music comes back on. So it's been great.
One of the things I've noticed travelling around the UK, and I run a community radio station myself, is that the training we do, the sense of inclusion and our participation in making radio at this level helps us lead the life of our choosing. Is that the case with you?
Yes, yeah, I think it is. It really is, because it's a great confidence, you know, when you come in somewhere and they say, oh, you're visually impaired. Okay, that's fine. You know, that you don't get that very much, which is a shame, you know, in 2017, but it still happens. So that is, gives you a great boost in confidence. And also when you are on air and things go well, it's really great for you. At first, it can be a bit worrying when things don't go to plan, but as you continue and you get more familiar with things, it's not quite so horrifying as it was when you started. But I can imagine other people getting a lot out of community radio, I really can.
So tell me then, what does volunteering here at East Coast Radio mean to you?
It means an awful lot, and they're so, as I say, the inclusion is great. I mean, I've met a lot of people who have said, oh, you do radio, I couldn't do that. And it seems to them, well, actually, you could. You know, you can come to East Coast FM, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, you can come here, and if you want to be on the radio, you volunteer, and you can, you know. Doesn't matter if you're shy or anything like that. You get involved in other things as well because of the fundraising aspect for community radio. You get to go to events, you know, really good fun things. You meet new people. And, of course, if you have had any issues with anxiety or, you know, underconfidence or anything, it really does help.
Did you have those issues?
Yes, I suffer from depression, so having something like this has been great for me. It's made me feel a lot better, and you know, I can do things. And people are saying to me, you know, you have done something well, which sometimes you don't hear very often. You know, you usually hear when you've done something wrong. But once you're on something like this, you do get a lot of encouragement, and it's great.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world with your show, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's excellent stuff, and many thanks to Gillian. I look forward to perhaps dropping in again when I'm in that neighbourhood later on in the year. And that fantastic experience, so well articulated by Gillian, brings to an end Third Sector Show on this occasion. Now, I do have content material for this show stacked up for several months. So if I have interviewed you or we've enjoyed the recorded conversation, I will be getting to it. The next edition of the programme is going to feature my visit to Southampton towards the end of last year. But if you'd like me to visit your organisation, I'm always up for it, whatever area of grassroots, independent and community media you're in. You can contact me on my office line, which is 01761 568 004. My email is manager@summersomervalleyfm.co.uk, or on Twitter, it is TheDomChambers. Also happy to take any suggestions for future themes of the programme. This programme is also now available on the Radio Today Audio Boom account, so check out the links I post on Facebook, Twitter and LinkedIn. If you're listening to this before World Radio Day, have a good day, and if you're listening to it afterwards, let's keep a global perspective on our hyper-local focus. In radio.